This is week 8, class number 2 of Biblical Prosperity, the last week of the course. All right, let's pick up. We're talking about what you do with the money in the pound account. You give as He directs. Your first line of giving is to be to your church. And your second line of giving is to ministries outside your church. Now, this really needs to be clarified, and I should have reworded this differently. Because, and listen very closely to this, the giving that you do out of the pound account is not just to ministries. The giving that you do out of the pound account can be to anyone when it comes to being obedient to the Lord. For example, and somebody brought this up, asked a question about this. And I'll use the same example that I gave. Let's say that there's a family that lives down the street from you, and God says, I want you to take $500 out of the pound account, go buy a 27-inch color TV, and give it to that family. And you say, God, you don't understand. These people do drugs. They drink. They're nothing but a bunch of heathens. Why in the world would you want to give them a color TV? Could it be that maybe He loves them? And He's wanting to show them that He loves them. And so, now see, this is a hard concept for people to grasp. Because you think He wants you to buy a color TV or whatever for a good Christian family that's in need. Now here He's telling you to spend pound money, His money, to impact a lost family. Kind of sounds like His purpose all along now, doesn't it? So you go and you buy, you know, I mean, you $500, you buy the 27-inch TV, and here you go, up there, front door, front door. They open the door. When they open the door, this big cloud of pot smoke comes out. And, you know, you got to buzz before you can even tell them who you are. Dude, man, God told me to buy this for you. Oh, man, I don't know what you've been doing. I want some of that. But you stand there with this thing. You know you're going to feel like a fool, right? And you say, look, God told me to buy this. This is your TV, okay? It's like, what do you mean that's my TV? Well, God told me to buy it and give it to you, okay? So I don't understand. God told you to buy a color TV and give it to me? Yeah. Man, that's weird. Because ours just went out last night. And the kids been fussing because they can't watch the cartoons. And you say God told you to do this. Huh. All right, thanks. Goodbye. No, it's not supposed to work that way, Brother Martin. You're supposed to break down in tears and repent. No, God didn't send you there for them to break down in tears and repent. He sent you there to give them a color television set. Just like Paul said, some sow, some water, and God's going to end up giving the increase. So what? Even if they don't thank you. Now, I'm going to give you a true example of this. It really did happen. There's a man who... For many years, he had wanted a particular kind of motorcycle, and he finally got it. Boy, he was happy with this thing. I mean, it was what he had wanted almost his whole life. So he's got this bike, and boy, it's the greatest thing in the whole wide world, and just vroom, 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 you know, I'm bad to the bone, vroom, vroom, vroom. One day, God says, take that motorcycle across the street and give it to that guy that's living over there. And the man argued, and he said, God, are you nuts? Well, I don't know if he said that, but I'm sure he probably thought it. This guy is married, but he's shacking up. His wife's gone. He's got another woman in there living with him. You want me to take this motorcycle and give it to him? God said, yep. All right, man. I hope you know what you're doing. So he rolls the motorcycle across the street, knocks on the guy's front door. The guy opens the door. He tosses him the keys to the motorcycle. He says, here, this is yours. He said, what do you mean it's mine? God told me to bring this over to you. Do what? I said, God told me to bring it over to you. Do you want it or not? It's yours, all right? I can't keep it. It's yours. God said, give it to you. He said, wow, man. You're just giving it to me, huh? Okay. Gee, can't believe this. 3 days later, the one who gave the motorcycle away heard a on his front door. He opens the front door, and there's the guy from across the street, tears running down his face. He says, man, I can't get this out of my head, what you have done. I cannot believe that God would want me to have a motorcycle when I'm shacking up with another woman. I'm a heathen. I'm living like a sinner. And God wants me to have a motorcycle. I can't take it anymore. Please tell me, what do I need to do to be saved? Amen. And he led him to Jesus. And the man's life got changed. A few weeks later, the guy that gave the motorcycle away heard a on his front door. He opens the front door, and there's a man that he knew lived quite a distance away. The guy said, you know, God told me to come by your house and give this to you. And he handed him some keys, and he says, come out here and look. And sitting in his driveway was not just a brand new motorcycle, but a trailer on which the motorcycle had been hauled and a brand new pickup truck that had brought it to his house. God gave the whole kit and caboodle to him. Now, why did I... Am I telling you, you give away a television, God's going to give you a TV. You give away your car, your motorcycle, God's going to have some... I'm not telling you that. What I'm saying is, when you steward the pound as though it belongs to the Creator of the universe, and I am not touching it with a 10-foot pole, and you do whatever He wants you to do with it, no matter how goofy it sounds, like buying a color TV and giving it to a heathen family or whatever, when you steward it that way for Him, not only, remember Luke 6, given it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom, and so forth. And all the way up to verse 38, he was talking about demonstrating the mercy of God to those who need to know His mercy. He said, you take this and you give to other people to demonstrate my mercy, and I, God, am going to work it out that people are going to begin to give into your bosom, pressed down, shaking together, running over, more than you can even imagine. Because I found somebody that I can trust with what they have. You begin stewarding your pound with that kind of a concept. And again, you don't think, okay, boy, this is great. Now I know how it works. I don't touch the money. I use it for His glory. He's going to give me a bunch of stuff. Yeah, that's cool. No. No. Because then it becomes a greed thing all over again. See, there is a place in God, when you begin to do this, there's a place in God where there is so much joy and there is so much peace. You actually get to the place like what Paul talked about. I've learned to be content no matter what. You learn to be content no matter what. And the joy is in how much more can I accumulate in the pound account for God's use? How much more, what can I do to get more money for you, Lord? Because you know the day is going to come. He's going to tell you, give that $100 to this person over here. Or use $10,000 and do such and such. Or send some over here and do that. Man, you talk about exciting. That is an area of Christianity that few Christians know about. Because, again, we've been taught to focus on ourselves as opposed to His kingdom. And when you get this thing all back in order, the way it's supposed to be, boy, He will bless you. I'm telling you now, He will bless you. He will give you things that you weren't expecting. He will give you things. He'll give you things you're almost going to feel guilty about receiving. Because it's going to seem like, oh, God, I can't take that. Oh, no, I can't. I mean, that is too much. I can't take this. And yet God says, no, I want you to have it. You're my child. What, you think this is going to break me? You think if I send a new BMW to you, it's going to hurt me financially? I'm God, okay? If I need some more gold, I'll just create it. It's not a problem. Amen. the use of the pound, again, is for His glory. It's for His purpose. It's whatever He tells you to do with it. Now, along the line, here's what will happen. And this, I don't believe this is in your notes. But as time goes on, let's just say, for the sake of conversation, that your provision is, let's just say $20,000 a year. That's your provision, okay? Now, obviously, I know it's probably more than that. But let's just say your provision is $20,000. That's what it takes just to live, at your standard of living. You know, you're not reducing your standard. I mean, this is how you live, and so you're living. Well, as time goes on, there's absolutely no reason whatsoever that you can't go to God, say every January 1st, and ask Him, Father, I would like to know if I can have an increase in provision this year. Don't you like maybe expect raises from your boss on the job? So you go to your master and you ask him, can I have an increase in provision? Now, the downside to this is when you start walking in a greater fullness of this comprehension, you will almost feel guilty about asking for an increase. It's like, I don't know. I mean, we got to use this for His purpose. I can't be tapping into this. But there's nothing wrong with this, okay? You ask Him, can I have an increase? Is it okay? Do you mind if I increase my provision? He may say yes, He may say no. If He says no, it's not a big deal. It means He already knows you're going to make it on the current provision. If He says yes, you ask Him how much. And ask Him for an amount. Just say, is it okay if I have an extra $100 a month increase in the provision? Or whatever. See, it's not... Don't leave here tonight again and think we've created doctrine that you ask for an extra 100. It might be 100, it might be 10, I don't know. See, every person's different. But you ask Him, just ask Him if you can have an increase. But all of this is predicated on the assumption that you know enough to stay in His presence to recognize His voice, not your emotions. So see, again, all of this goes back to spending time in the presence of your Master, of your Lord. So you ask Him for an increase. It's not wrong to do that. And He may tell you, yes, take this much increase or whatever. And at first, it's possible it might seem like taking the increase is going to cut down on how much you put into the pound. But now listen, if He tells you, take the increase in your provision, He already knows what's necessary as far as the pound is concerned. So you don't need to feel guilty about it. So you can go to Him and you can ask Him for an increase. And if one of these emergencies comes up, you can go ask Him, is it okay if I use some pound money to get the car fixed? If He says yes, then you do it. If He says no, then you don't. Or the refrigerator, or the stove, or whatever. See what I'm saying? Again, you don't just do it. You get permission from Him. It's developing... See, this whole imagery is something that really seems to have escaped a lot of Christians, that He is my Lord. You know, like Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, but you don't do what I say? Well, it's the same kind of a thing. Why do we call Him Lord, Lord, but then we don't treat Him as such? In our money... We need to learn to treat Him as such. So we call Him Lord, Lord. We go to Him and just say, now, Lord, here's the deal. Here's what's going on. And I need help here. Do this, whatever. He tells you what to do. You do it. It's really very simple. Now, in your ministry, your second line of giving, and this would apply not just to you in ministry, but really to everybody. Your second line of giving, it says ministries outside your church, but it's not just ministries. It would essentially, it should have been phrased here, I should have rephrased it this way, to minister outside your church. Not just giving to the Bible College or to Dave Roberson or to somebody else. It's to minister outside your church. Now, He may tell you, out of the pound account, this is what I want you to do. I want you to give X amount every month to Grace Ministries Bible College. I want you to give X amount every month to Dave Roberson Ministries. I want you to give X amount every month to this such and such over here ministry, and X amount to this ministry over here, and I want you to give X amount to this person over here. They're not in ministry, but they need extra money to live on because their Social Security check doesn't go very far. See what I'm saying? So it could be something like that. So it's really to minister outside of your church. And when it comes to purchasing what you need for your ministry, you do it as He directs. Things like utilities and so forth, that's a given. You don't have to ask Him, now, Father, should I pay the electric bill? The answer is, yes, you pay the electric bill. Should I pay the phone bill this month, Father, or should I just let it go? He says, no, you pay that phone bill. See what I'm saying? Those things are just a given. You just do it. But other things, it's a matter of prayer. It's a matter of getting permission from Him. In other words, Father, I am a manager of this ministry that belongs to You. Now, do You want what I'm managing to have bigger office space? If You do, then I will pursue larger office space. Now, if You want my opinion, Lord, I think we do. We've kind of maxed out here. But I'm not going to move just because I think we need more. You tell me, do You want me to relocate this ministry for You? If He says yes, you do it. If He says no, then you don't. But Brother Martin, what if He says yes and it's going to take more money than what's coming in? Well then, gee whiz, you better tell Him what's going on. You better let Him know he's making a big mistake. Don't you think He already knew that? If He tells you, then He must know something that you don't know. Meaning maybe there's going to be more money coming in or something along those lines. But again, I know it sounds like a broken record, but it's getting everything in order. It's developing a whole new perspective as far as your relationship with Him is concerned and how you handle money. And don't make the mistake of becoming your own master and using pound money any way that you choose. And as you prove yourself faithful in the pound, God's going to direct more money into your ministry. And I will add this. He will direct, and it's not just ministry or money, it's money and thing. Money and material. Material, anything you touch, money speaks for itself. He will direct more money and material into your ministry, but at the same time, He will direct more money and material into your personal life. I'm telling you, I know this from experience. It's like, when I broke free of all the stuff that I'd heard in the past, it was at that moment when I made the decision, God, I'm going to live like this. I'm not going to live the way I've lived before. I'm not going to get caught up in this. I'm going to be killed if I don't put my tithe money in. And if I don't tithe, the windows won't be open. If I don't offering, then I can't get blessings out the window. And if I don't sow, I can't reap. God, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm doing what I see in Your Word. And I'm telling you now, when I made that decision, and I changed my whole perspective, and instead of giving to try and get something, I just went to Him and I said, You're my Father, and I'm asking You, may I please such and such. Things changed. Literally, within days, things began to change. Money began coming in. It happened. Because I wasn't relating to Him as, you know, well, you know, you're God and I'm your slave and I'm a nothing, I'm a worm and I've got to do this or you're going to get mad and strike me down. I related to Him, He's my Father and I'm serving Him. And I am going to steward what He puts into my hands. And when I took that attitude toward it, things began turning around. And I can tell you that within the last 5 years, within the last 5 years, more has come in, ministry and personal-wise, than all the other years combined. Combined. I'm not saying that lightly. I'm telling you the truth. Combined, more has come in. I'm not bragging on me. I'm just telling you that the principles I'm sharing with you in this course, they work because they're founded on God's Word, not on doctrines of legalism, not on religious concepts. They are based upon a relationship with God. And He will put things into your life. Now let's talk about grace and increase. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 26. Second Chronicles chapter 26. You have to be convinced that formulas don't work. When we talk about increase, what we're headed into tonight is really the nuts and bolts of how to see more come into your life and more come into your ministry. And I can safely stand up here and tell you this will work. I can guarantee you it will work. Because it's from God, not from man. This works. You have to be convinced that formulas don't work. If you still believe the formulas work, and now here's the thing about it. When you say, bless God, I'm going to do it. And you take a step of faith and begin to live this way as opposed to what you'd always heard before, you're going to find out how deep the roots are of all the stuff you've heard in the past. You say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, because the next paycheck you get, if the words that come out of your mouth are, now, you know what, we got to pay our tithe. You see what I'm saying? I didn't say don't tithe. I'm just, the concept, you know, where that came from. You'll find out how deep these roots go. In 2 Chronicles 26, verses 3 through 5, it says, 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign, and he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecoliah of Jerusalem. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Notice he didn't seek prospering. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. That is, if you will, a type and shadow of Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it's kind of a version, an Old Testament version, if you will, of what you see there in Matthew. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, where it says, for you know the grace of your Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that you through His poverty might be rich. Now turn to 2 Corinthians. If you have a marker, put it in there. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, because we'll leave there and come back and maybe leave and come back a few other times. In verses 1 through 4, now we're looking here at the example of the Philippians. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. So in other words, he's saying, now Corinthians, I want you to pay close attention to what happened when God's grace was released upon the churches of Macedonia. Now stop right there. If you preach this wrong, you can make God out to be a respecter of persons. In other words, God sat up in heaven and made this decision. Well, you know, those people down there in Macedonia, they've been good. I think I'll bestow grace upon them. It's not that God's grace isn't extended. It's just that you've got to understand His grace is extended. So another way that we could state this, or to kind of paraphrase it, would be, moreover, brethren, we want you to understand what happened when the churches of Macedonia began to flow in the grace of God, or began to get in the flow of God's grace. Now, the churches of Macedonia, he's talking about the Philippians. That whole region was, you know, Philippi, Philip of Macedonia. Macedonia was a region, Philippi was a city, and so forth. So the Philippians, this is who he's talking about. How that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now again, let's stop right here. Instead of spiritualizing all of this, let's take it for what it's worth. If you are in deep poverty, can you conceive any way, shape, or form of being liberal with anything you have? If you're in deep poverty, you're not thinking about giving. You're thinking about putting food in the mouths of your children. Okay, something has happened. And he's talking here about abundance of joy and deep poverty, but it abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, the Philippians got this money to Paul and they said, Paul, take this. We're begging you, Paul, take this. We want to be a part of what God is doing through you in the lives of other people. Now turn over, keeping your place, leave a bookmark right here. Turn over to Philippians. If you've got a marker, you can put it in here too. Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 10. Let's find out about this group of people, the Macedonians. Paul says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again." Flourished. Now the word flourish, that's not nickel and dime stuff, okay? "Has flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity." In other words, you guys had this offering you wanted to give to me, but for a while you didn't have the opportunity to give it to me. In other words, you didn't know for sure where I was, essentially is what he's saying here. "Not that I speak in respect of want," or in other words, I'm not saying this to you guys just to pump you up emotionally to get a bigger offering. Because you see, I have learned in whatsoever state I am, whatever conditions, I've learned to be content. Because, I want you to understand something, Philippians, I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. I know how to do without. I know what it's like to live with nothing. I know what it's like when there aren't any offerings coming in. And I know what it's like to have abundance coming in. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned how. He says, I am instructed. It wasn't that God ordered him, Paul, I order you to lose everything that you have. It's not what he's saying. He said, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now stop right there and think about this for a moment. Doesn't this sound kind of contradictory? Now please, hang on with me here. Based upon what we have read from Paul's writings, and we use Paul's writings concerning sowing and reaping, if all of Paul's writings concerning sowing and reaping had to do with money, there's got to be something wrong, because Paul here is telling us how he has been broke. Well, Paul, you should have read your own writings. Why didn't you sow? Why didn't you tithe, Paul, and get the windows of heaven open? What's wrong with you, Paul? Don't you understand God's Word? You need to get a set of my tapes, Paul. That'll straighten this out for you. Can you see how the contradiction here in all this? Well, anyway, he says, look, I've learned how to be content no matter what the conditions would be. Because you see, I have figured out, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. In other words, look, whether you guys give to me or whether you don't give to me, I've been through lots and I've been through nothing. But I know, I have figured out that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. This would include, if it takes money to do it, that's not a problem. I know who to go to receive what's necessary to do what I've been instructed to do. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now, you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. So it's like, again, he kind of interjects this. Now, don't you guys think that I'm playing on your emotions just to try and get more money out of you? I'm not trying to get more and more offerings out of you. This is not about, you know, you and your money and me, because I know that I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But this is about you and having treasure laid up to your account. Having these things laid up to you. Well, what kind of fruit is he talking about? Well, he's not talking about them making deposits in their heavenly bank account so they can withdraw in a time of need. He's talking about the most important thing that there is to God, which is the souls of people. He's saying, look, the more that you're a part of this ministry, the more that you're going to be accountable for people that are one to Jesus Christ. And even though I'm the one that's out there on the field and you're still back home in Macedonia, you still will have fruit laid to your account, because you're helping me do what I've been sent forth to do. He said, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now this 19th verse alone, if we just stop and think about the impact of what Paul is writing here, especially in the context of everything he's writing, that 19th verse alone should be enough for us to refute all of the sowing and reaping things, giving and receiving teachings that we've ever heard before. Because you can't stand up and teach somebody, you've got to sow or you can't get more. And then in the same breath, refer to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. Because the two teachings aren't compatible. It's either my God supplies according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, or my God supplies through my sowing, my reaping, my tithes, my offerings, my giving, etc. It can't be both. It's only one or the other. Well, if you look back over in 2 Corinthians, leaving your bookmark now here in Philippians chapter 4. They had gone through a tough time, but grace turned it around for them. Chapter 8, verse 1. Fellow Christians, brethren, I want to remind you of what happened to the churches of Macedonia when the grace of God, when they tapped into the grace of God, when they figured out what was going on here with the grace of God. They were going through great struggles. They were going through financial poverty, deep poverty. But in the midst of it, they had an abundance of joy. And then this whole thing turned around to the point that they were giving liberally. Not just nickel and dime, but they were giving liberally. And then in verse 5, he says, "And not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." Now look at this verse 5 again. "And this they did, not as we hoped." Well, this they did, it's been added by the interpreters. Now what he's saying here, "and not as we hoped," it's what he's saying is similar to what he said over there to the Philippians when he wrote to them, where he said, "Not that I desire a gift from you, or not that I desire more money." In other words, what he's saying in verse 5 is he's saying this. They gave to us, but it wasn't because we were sitting around hoping they would send money to us, hoping to get an offering from them. Or in other words, it wasn't that we had put our faith in the Philippians that they were going to be the ones to give. Okay, do you see what he's saying here? "Not as we hoped, but see what happened. First, they gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." In other words, it was God's will for them to do what they did. But he said, first off, they gave themselves to the Lord. First off, they gave themselves to the Lord. He didn't say they came out of the deep poverty by first sowing an offering into my ministry. He's saying they came out of this deep poverty by the grace of God, and the first thing that they did was to give themselves to the Lord. Leave your marker here, go back to Philippians chapter 4, and you're going to get a glimpse of what they did, part of what they did at least, in regard to this giving themselves over to the Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 4. "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing." Or don't worry about anything. I know you guys have faced some financial hardships in the past. I know things have been tough, but don't worry about anything. "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." I turn back over to 2 Corinthians. What you just read there in Philippians, it kind of gives you a glimpse through the window of what these people did when Paul talks about that they first gave themselves over to the Lord. In other words, they didn't focus on the money problems. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, prayer, supplication, thanksgiving." In other words, get there in the presence of God. Stop worrying about the external problems and circumstances that you're facing. But you get in there in the presence of God. Spend time in His presence. Give yourself first to the Lord. Now, again, think about what we've heard taught. When it comes to financial problems, if you have a need, sow a seed. Paul says, if you're in deep poverty, first give yourself to the Lord. First, give yourself to the Lord. And then we see over in Philippians part of this process. In Philippians chapter 4, what we just read over there is part of the description of what these folks did to get out of this poverty. And it's a variation of what Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 6, where he said, take no thought for this, take no thought for that. In other words, don't worry about this. It's like Paul has kind of condensed that in Philippians chapter 4 when he wrote that encouragement to them. And then in Titus, over here in 2 Corinthians, Titus, if you look in verse 6, well, verse 5, not as we did, but first gave themselves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and all diligence and your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. Titus was to come in there. In other words, Paul is saying, look, I'm going to give you an example of what happened for the Philippians. Deep poverty, things were going really bad, but they gave themselves first to the Lord. When they did that, they began tapping into the power of God's grace. They didn't worry about the deep poverty and all the struggles they were going through. They first gave themselves to the Lord. And when they did that, it's like they got into the flow of God's grace. And when they got into the flow of God's grace, the deep poverty turned around to the point that now they're liberally giving into my ministry to help me get from one place to the other and do what God has told me to do. I've sent Titus to you to teach you more about this, so that you will be like the Macedonian brothers and begin to operate in the same way, tapping into the same flow of grace, so that the power of God's grace will produce in your life the exact same way that it has produced in the life of the Philippians. And he reminds the Corinthians that this is exactly what's going to happen in chapter 8, verse 9, where he says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And then in chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. And so he's saying, look, the same thing that worked for the Philippians is going to work to you, work for you, and I've sent Titus to teach you guys this, so you stop worrying about this thing here or that thing there, so that you take a look at what happened to the Philippians. The same thing is going to happen to you if you listen to what Titus is going to come in and preach and teach to you. And we see back over in Philippians what Paul wrote to them about, you know, be careful for nothing, prayer, thanksgiving. In other words, you give yourself first to the Lord. Therefore, we already know what Titus was going to be teaching the Corinthians. Give themselves first to God. In other words, Titus wasn't going to go in there and teach them a prosperity message of giving and receiving, of sowing and reaping. What he was going to do was, he wasn't even going to talk about money so much. He was going to talk about them spending time in the presence of God. Keep in mind what Paul wrote to this Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. He said, you guys are messed up. You are carnal. I can't give you meat. I got to give you milk. In other words, they weren't spending time in the presence of God, or they wouldn't have been so carnal. They wouldn't have been so messed up as he described in 1 Corinthians. So we know that the first thing that Titus was going to do when he got in there was going to teach these people more about first giving themselves to the Lord, so they could begin to mature spiritually, but also to begin to tap into the flow of this grace and understand that Paul wasn't just a money grubber, because we talked about it earlier in this course, how that some had accused him of this, that they wouldn't see it that way, that they would see this as partnering with Paul the same way the Philippians did, so that here we are living in Corinth, but we've got a representative out there. His name is Paul. He's setting up churches all over the place. There are people coming to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Folks are getting healed. Folks are getting delivered. Powerful things are happening. And praise God, we're having fruit laid to our account when we get to heaven. Oh, hallelujah. What a reunion it's going to be. People that we've never even met and don't even know. We're going to be rejoicing around the throne of Jesus Christ because we had a part in leading them to salvation. And so see, Titus is going to come in and he's going to begin teaching the people this. Now, when you talk about accessing grace, in other words, when you talk about tapping into grace, grace works for everyone. Let me reiterate this. It sounds so simple, but grace works for everyone. Paul just said, 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Corinthians, I want to tell you about the grace that the Philippians tapped into. And then he reminds them twice in 8:9 and 9:8. God's grace is going to produce in your life. The power of God's grace is going to work for us too. Now please, this may sound like such a simple thing, but did you know that what Paul writes about here in 2 Corinthians concerning grace, did you know it will still work for you today? What Paul writes in here about the grace bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, do you know it will work for you too in the same way? If it wouldn't, then it wouldn't be written in here. That means that when Paul wrote to the Corinthians and he said, chapter 8, verse 1, I want to give you the Philippians, the churches at Macedonia, I want to give them to you as an example. Do you realize he could have been writing that to every single one of us? I want to tell you about the grace of God they tapped into, and it turned deep poverty into the liberality of their giving. And we see that in more detail over there in Philippians. So it worked for them. It's going to work for every single one of us. All of us. No difference. None. If you're facing financial struggles right now, tonight you're going to understand how to get out of it. And it's not going to be through have a need, sow a seed. All right? It's going to be through tapping into the power of God's grace. Now, it works for everyone, and you don't have to be a pastor or an evangelist to see grace produce increase in your life. Please get that through your head. I was teaching this one time, and the comment got back to me that somebody said, well, it works for him because he's a preacher. No, no, no. It works for everybody. God's grace is not a respecter of persons. It doesn't matter who you are or what you... You may not even know for sure what your calling in the body of Christ is right now. That's okay. You're headed in that direction. You're going to know. You're going to find out. But God's grace can still produce in your life, even if you don't know yet that you're called to be the next Billy Graham or the next Elaine Homer or whatever it would be. God's grace will still produce for you. So take this image that so many Christians seem to have that, well, it works for the preacher, but I'm just a common person. You're not the common person. You're a child of God. You've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And the grace of God that got you to this place is still going to work in your life in the same way that it works in the evangelist, that it works in the pastor and the apostle and everybody else. This grace works for you. So now that we've got that established, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound so that whatever it takes, you've got it. All right? That's the Martin version, I guess you could say. The word able, it indicates that he can, but it's not automatic. The grace is always flowing, but we must get into the flow. And this is the mistake some people can make. You know, you've heard the term greasy grace. Well, you know, you can just live any way you want to. I mean, hey, grace of God, He loves you, He forgives you. Don't worry about it. Well, no, you should be concerned about it if you've got a bunch of sin in your life. That's not right. Likewise, the grace of God is extended to you, but it doesn't mean that it's just going to happen. There is something that you have to do. It's not legalism. It's not work. It all goes back to what Paul wrote to the Corinthians about the Philippians, how that they first gave themselves to God. So, I guess if you want to say that giving yourself to God is a form of works, well, okay, then we'll call that works. But I don't count it works. I don't call it works. I call it relationship. Okay? Let's go ahead and take 5 minutes, come back, and we will finish up. Praise the Lord.